Lord, praise. We celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Well, that was so good for me. I hope it was good for you. Oh, well, welcome everybody that's tuning in. Yes, you did miss out on a little something, but maybe you'll get some of that later, okay? And we're enjoying a new series. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's on triple anointing. Triple anointing. And if you were not able to capture last week, you need to go back and see why we call it triple anointing. You may be familiar with the term double anointing, because there's a reference in the Old Testament that we're going to talk about that. But I shared the story that when I was traveling and preaching quite a bit, that sometimes they would want to have a service toward the end of the week, you know, a really rally service, and call it, we're going to have a double anointing service. And I always, you know, I go along with it because, you know, I'm not in charge. I'm just there to minister. But I always had this in the back of my mind, you know, we got more than that. And double anointing, you can actually limit. You know what? We have triple anointing. And the Word of God shows us what triple anointing, why I use the term triple anointing, because of the Trinity. We're filled with the very Godhead Himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, you get Jesus, you get it all. Now, we don't necessarily know how to receive and appropriate all of it. Oh, come on now. Y'all going to make me back up the truck a little bit? Hey, I want to tell you, we've been given not a baby Jesus. We received the whole, full head of the Godhead Himself in us. God didn't hold anything back. He's given him, but we don't necessarily know how to receive what we've been given. That's part of what this journey is about. And I want to tell you, and this has kind of hit me because recently I had a pastor telling me, I need to be anointed, I need to be anointed. And it didn't really help him too much immediately when I said, well, you already are. No, I'm not. Yes, you really are. We just need to learn how to appropriate and receive what we've been given. Recognize what we've been given, receive what we've been given, and respond by faith what He says about it. Okay? Because the Word of God says that you've been anointed. And it's the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people will say, well, the anointing must be a certain emotional level. No. It's Jesus in you. He's the anointed one, and He's in you. And you have His anointing in you. Wow, that would really open up some eyes if we capture that. Ephesians 3:19, and I'm going to read this scripture, and I've got some few things to say, and then you got to listen fast because this sermon's getting longer by the minute. Okay, Ephesians 3:19, that you may really come to know practically and personally through experiencing for yourselves the love of Christ. Well, Brother Tim, I thought you were talking about anointing. Well, I'm telling you, this is a connection. The gateway, you've heard me talk about gates. You know, the last series we talked about peace being a gate to receiving from the Lord, a door to go through. Love is a big gate. Love is a main gate for us to go through to receive of the Lord. There is a divine connection, a divine connection between the love of God and the power of God. Thank you for that amen, Pastor Don. And you keep that up, I'm going to bless you. But it's very, very true, okay? And, it goes like this. Everything in the kingdom of God flows through the love of God. There are people that want to seek the power of God, and they're not personally experiencing the love of God, and they're a dud. You can go to a dead end trying to experience or manifest or crank up or make something happen in the kingdom of God without you personally overflowing in the love of God. But let me say this, despite or in spite of your education or the lack of it, or your gifting or the lack of it, when you're walking in the love of God, I want to tell you it's easy for the power of God to flow through you. It's a main gate. This is for you, not just for super saints. This is for every Bible boy and gospel girl, all right? That you may really experience yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. There are people that, you know, they can talk the dictionary to you. But if they haven't personally received and walked in the love of Jesus, it's empty language. It's an empty tank. That you may be filled, get this, through all of your being. Does that sound like fullness? Does that sound like overwhelming? Does that sound like baptism? Through all of your being unto all the fullness of God. Wait, that must be a misprint. A little bit of the fullness of God. Oh, wait. Now, God, surely you're not wasteful now. Just enough fullness to get us by. No. I'm talking about unto all the fullness of God. Get this now, because this is how the Amplified brings out the language, because it's so rich. That you may have the richest measure. Not just a little bit, not just enough to get by, not just enough to survive, but that you may have, this is God's will. Is this God's will? This is God's heart? Well, it's also a way of God that the love of Christ and the power of Christ flowing is in the same gate. And to all the fullness of God, may you have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a person or become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Does that sound like partial to you? I want to tell you what that is. That's like Psalm 23 talks about, that my brimming cup of Jesus in me is running over. It's more, He is more than enough. So, 1 John 2:20. But you have been anointed. Wait. It means that we haven't earned it yet? No, it's not by earning. It's a grace. Hey, unmerited, not favored, it's a gift. And He gifts us, and this is the Holy Spirit, He gifts us. You've been anointed by the Holy One. And you all know the truth, or you know all things. You say, well, wait. No, I'm far away from that. What is that talking about? Well, I'm going to try to tell you, but what it boils down to is this, is that the Holy Spirit is in you, and He knows all things. The Holy Spirit in you can reveal to you what you need to know at the power of the moment, in the time that you need it. He can speak it and show it to you. Now, one of the main things that this is talking about is how to recognize truth. Because I want to tell you, and even in that day, and today is the same, and this is why this is very alive for us, this truth is that, you know, there's all kind of different teachings with different emphases, with different directions, and the Holy Spirit is there inside of you to say yay or nay. Now, it's so important that even when you're listening to a sermon or listening to a preacher or a ministry, that you're hearing the Lord, and not just with your physical ears, you're hearing with the ears of your heart. Because as you're listening, this is what you can hear the Holy Spirit say. This is true. And this is for you. Or you can also hear the Holy Spirit say, don't receive that. That's out of balance, out of order. That's not my heart. And so I want to tell you, you have to be real. If you're listening to something and the Holy Spirit's giving you a yellow light or a red light, turn it off. Leave. Get out of the way. I'm talking Bible here. It's something you need to know. And you need to be the witness. Let the witness in you be the witness. Yay or nay. And I want to tell you how this works. Sometimes when you're listening to truth and revelation's coming, and on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit is saying, yay. And in your mind, you're saying, I don't see how this puzzle fits. You know, this don't quite make sense. I don't quite understand it. I don't understand how to, and the Holy Spirit is saying, yay. Then your job is to say yay to it even before your mind understands it. Now, boy, that goes against Western culture and Western education. But that's Bible. Okay. You have no need. Look, 27 says, which you've received from Him permanently abides in you. Is it just when you're feeling spiritual? Is it just when you've read your verse of the day? Oh, please read more than a verse. Is it just after you've had your prayer time or you've gone to church a number of times in a row? Please go to church. But what? No, it's not based on that. is permanently in you. The unction and the anointing, the Holy Spirit is in you and able in you forever. Not based on your performance. Can anybody say amen on that? Wow. Doesn't that make you want to hug Jesus tighter? But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and no falsehood. In other words, it's real clear, yea or nay, true or false. For you, leave it alone. So you must abide in, get this now, live in, never depart from him. Now, if you're abiding in him, it's a whole lot easier for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying yea or nay. If you're not abiding in him, it doesn't mean that the anointing's not there, but you're more insensitive to it if you're not abiding in him. I hope you see this. Oh, I love the Lord, don't you? And so you must abide in him. Being rooted in him and knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do it. Now, let me be crystal clear. The Holy Spirit is the GPS in you to point you to the Lord. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit has taught you where to go and what you need to do. I get calls. We got one last night, didn't we, babe? I got a call last night. You know, I ain't going to tell you, don't ask me. One of the most anointed, gifted men of God I've ever known called and said, I'm depressed. I'm a mess. I don't know. I don't have any direction. I don't know what to do. I'm going to escape. I'm going to go away. Look, it's easy to get there. Don't you dare try to throw a Bible. You don't have Bibles, do you? Don't throw your notes at them. Don't throw your Bible on your phone. Because you know what? You could be there next week. But let me just say, you don't have to go there. If you do go there, we got compassion for you because we've been there. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go there. You don't have to stay there, and you don't have to go there. Okay? But I want to tell you, even if you have, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, has not left you. You may not be receiving it. You may not be walking in it. But you can, because it's his will and his word for you to do so. And the way of God is for you to turn. And I want to tell you, when we become insensitive to the Lord, I'm just going to use a Bible term. Is that all right with you? Our heart gets hardened. And we become insensitive to that GPS indicator. Because the GPS indicator, the Holy Spirit in you, has taught you what to do. Get back with God. Repent. He'll turn you to God. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you, there's hope in it. He's not bashing you over the head like the enemy does with condemnation. You sorry, no good, unspiritual, you're unworthy. The Lord can never, he's so mad at you. No, that's the enemy junk. What the Holy Spirit will do, he'll whisper to your heart, wrong, repent, change direction, change your mind, turn your heart toward the Lord. Because that's really what you have to do, is turn your heart toward the Lord. And the kingdom of God itself is drawing and manifesting in your heart to get you with God. If you'll just turn your heart. It's called repentance. It means to change your direction, change your mind. And verse 28 says this. Now, little children, come on, little ones. It's very, very important that you abide, that you live in him. Jesus had something to say about that, didn't he? So, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14 says this, and his gifts. Now, God gave gifts to the church. And you say, oh boy, what do they look like? They look like people. All right? The package may not look too good on the outside. One of the little presents that we gave the grandkids was from their great-grandparents. It was a little bank. And I wrapped it myself. I left it in the box it came in. And so the little UPS box or whatever. So they opened it up and everything. Now, Lovey, she's better than I am. She put it in a little paper sack. But I want to tell you, and that was the gift of the weekend, brother. I got to say it was. We're getting another one. Matter of fact, it's so good. But look, here's the deal. The gift on the outside may not look too pretty. But it's what the gift does inside out that makes a difference. Okay. the gifts that God gave to the church are through men and women. It's through people. And so let's look see what they look like. Some of them are apostles. They're special messengers. Some of them are prophets. They're inspired preachers and expounders. And some of them are evangelists. They're preachers of the gospel and traveling missionaries. Some are pastors. They're like shepherds of the flock. And some are teachers. Now, wait a minute. Some are teachers. And so don't be like some people and take the word of God and run the wrong way with it. There are some people that looked at the scripture that I shared with you and said, man can't teach me. I don't need any man to teach me. I have the anointing and I don't need any teaching. Yeah, you do. And the proof of it is that the Lord gave gifts to the body of Christ, which is a part of you. And part of that gifting is teachers. He gave teachers to the body. Now, even with physical, gifted men teaching the Word of God, you've got to have the Holy Spirit be your GPS and be your confirming one. As a matter of fact, the way it's supposed to work is that the Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to your life, and then man comes along with the Word and confirms what the Holy Spirit is already saying on the deep inside. That's fun. That's a blast right there. And look what it's for. Verse 12, the intention, his gifts are given for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. Let me say it like this, to help you grow up. To help you grow up. Grow up into what? Well, so that you can minister. Not to sit on a seat and say amen and hit the offering plate. Please do, please do. But what I'm saying is that there's more for you to be a Christian than that. God's designed you to be a minister. And God's giving these gifts of ministers to the body of Christ to help you but grow up and become a minister. Well, that's just pure Bible right there, isn't it? I love them. That we'll attain oneness, that we'll really, verse 13, really mature manhood, that you'll grow up into a spiritual man and not stay a spiritual baby. Well, what does that look like? Looks like Jesus. I'll tell you what maturity looks like. Looks like Jesus. The very last part of verse 13, and I'm trying to move along here because I want to stay here. But it says, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. Let me tell you what a mature Christian looks like. Looks like Jesus. We're not talking about human perfection. We're not talking about somebody that does everything just perfect. No, no, no. We're talking about somebody that grows to the place that when you see them, you see Jesus. Why? Verse 14, so that we may no longer be babies in diapers and just drinking milk and getting tossed around like a little boat out there on the lake when it's real windy. I've experienced some of that this spring. But not be like a little boat on the lake being tossed around about every wind of teaching that comes along. Whoa, that's it. Whoa, that's it. No, it's not. Why don't you practice what you do know? If we practice what we do know, it'd be amazing how much more we would receive. Everybody, not everybody, but there's people sometimes kind of, I need a new word. I need a new word from God. Well, what was the old word? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you go back and ask the Lord what the last word was and practice it? When you practice the last word God gave you, it's easy to get a new word. Okay. Well, praise ye the Lord. And so we won't be tossed around by every little wind of circumstance. Be crying like a baby. Let me just ask a couple personal questions. You don't mind if I, well, I'm going to anyway. I'm just going to tell you. I love you. How can you grow up in the Lord if you don't participate in the church life that's God's designed, where he's placed spiritual coaches in your life to coach you into becoming a victory and growing up? How can you grow up if you don't participate? And all the people on the camera said, amen. How can you be, let me just put it like this. God's designed more for you than you living a yo-yo Christian experience. up and down, up and down, all around. No, no. God's designed you for more than that. And I'll tell you what helps, growing up. Because growing up, you still get hit by waves. Circumstances still come. Weird teachings may approach. People will still try to manipulate you. But when you're grounded on the Word and you've grown up, you know what? You can resist a wave. You can see Jesus through a circumstance. All right? And it makes a heaven of a lot of difference for those around you, not just you. How can you, growing ones, how can you be a gift to, how can you grow up and become a minister? Because that's God's goal for you. That's what the Word says. How can you grow up and become a minister without commitment? I can't tell you. Over the years, you get to practicing this long enough, it doesn't mean you're the sharpest knife in the drawer, because I'm not, but it means you, over a period of time, you see things over and over. And I can't tell you how many times people get kind of excited about the Lord, and they see the Lord using somebody, and they say, "Woo, I want that. Woo, I want to do that. I want people to clap for me. I want people to say amen for me." And they want you to give them a title or give them a position. And, it takes commitment. It's not the title or the position that causes you to minister. It's your love life with the Lord. You grow in the Lord, and there's overflow in the Lord. And what the Lord is saying and doing in you spills out on other people. And the Lord grows you up. He raises you up. And when the Lord raises you up, boy, He puts you in a position. And that's a beautiful thing when God does that. If man does it, it's a mess. But you know what? There is no minister, mature one, without commitment. It takes commitment. You know what it means? It means that it's going to affect your calendar. It's going to affect your calendar. You're going to have to say, you know what? It'd be easier for me to not do that. It'd be easier for me not to participate in that. But you know what? Because I love, I'm committed. I don't have to. My wife and I have been in different places in the United States this spring. Couple of different times. And I don't have to have someone come and give me a cheerleading or give me a lesson on how to be faithful to my wife when she's gone. You know why? Because I love her. You know what happens when I love her? I'm committed to her. You know what happens when we love the Lord? We're committed to Him. I want to tell you, hey, I even take care of her little cats when she's gone. Why? Because I'm committed. Well, I want to tell you something. When you love the Lord, Peter could tell you this. When you love the Lord, you love on the sheep. Take some commitment to do that. The livestock need continual touch. Somebody say amen. Well, I'm just going to tell you that when the Lord says that He will teach you or show you all things, He will, His anointing, the Holy Spirit, will tell you what you don't know, so that you can do what the Lord wants you to do. And I shared an example or two last week. I may go back to one of those, but I'll never forget a pastor called me, and he said, you know, I've got a teenage daughter. I said, yeah, I know. You know, I've been ministering in his church some. And he said, well, you know, she's cold. She doesn't want to talk to us. She's isolated herself. And, you know, would you just come and meet with her and see if you can help her? Sure will. And I went, and we were in a room, and me and the teenage girl sat down, and we visited, and I asked a number of questions, and I shared with her. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't getting anywhere. I mean, I'm talking to the Lord while I'm talking to her, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. I don't know what I'm doing here. And so at the end, I said, okay, I'm just going to pray over you. And as I was praying over her, I saw that she had life in her. You understand? Teenage girl, pastor's daughter. And so I get through praying, and I looked at her and smiled, because I want to tell you what, life is good news. I looked at her and smiled, and I said, congratulations. The Lord showed me you have life in you. And when I said that, she began to weep. And she cried, And she said, you know, my parents don't know. I said, I know. I think that's why I'm here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be a bridge to help them forgive you. Are you willing to ask forgiveness? Yes. To forgive you and to celebrate the life in you. Because the Lord wants life to be celebrated. It goes against some church tradition in some places. But this is Jesus. And so, sure enough, I was able to go out and meet with the parents and kind of had to take the dad on a walk. Because he was mad. They were hurt. They were disappointed. But I want to tell you something. It was real sweet. Because my challenge was, is that this needs to be your child, grandchild of love, where you raise this grandchild as an example to the world and to the body of Christ that the Lord forgives and the Lord blesses and the Lord loves. And I want to tell you, they did, and it happened, and it was beautiful. Okay? Now, I didn't know that with my physical mind. Okay? I was preaching over in Dallas. And this was a number of youth groups that had come together for the same night. It was one of those, boy, I don't like them. As a matter of fact, I tried to steer clear of them. They were called all-nighters. What do you call those? Huh? Lock-ins! Oh, yeah. It was a lock-in. It was at a bowling alley. And they had a number of youth groups there. This place was packed out. And they invited me there to preach. I was going to preach the sermon for the night before they got to playing and eating all night. And so anyway, I preached, and you know what? It was real sweet because it was all packed in there at this bowling alley, and you know, a number of teens got saved that night, and a number of people were being ministered to. And when I got through, and when they released everybody to go play, there was a line of people. You know how that works? They would come up, you know, for prayer or wanted to talk with you about something. And I was there for a while, and I got through everybody, I thought, except for one little guy. He was kind of off in the corner and staring. And when I made eye contact with him, I just waved him on over. And he real kind of quietly, shyly came over, and real timid, you know. But anyway, I tried to visit with him, and I couldn't really get him to talk. And I said, do you have a problem? He said, yes. And I said, do you want to tell me your problem? And he said, no. And I said, have you told anybody your problem? He said, no. And I've been to a number of counselors, a number of pastors. Nobody knows. And when I looked at him, the Lord just whispered to me, he has a problem with sexual preference. You know what I'm saying? I can get plain, you know. He had a problem with sexual preference. And so I just said to him, your problem is your sexual preference. And he began to weep. And he said, nobody knows this. I've never told anybody. How do you know? I said, the Lord just told me. And he didn't tell me for you to get beat up. He told me so you can be free. Do you want Jesus to help you get free? He said, yes, I would. And, you know, I had to meet with him a couple other times after that night. And, you know, but long story short, this man, a young man, I was able to take through deliverance because his was demonically connected. And, you know, I want to tell you, the little guy got free, and he got so free. Well, I could give you great testimony, but he got very free. And I've had some people ask me, well, what does free mean? Well, free doesn't mean that you're not ever tempted. Free doesn't mean that you don't ever have a wrong desire. If that was the case, come on now. All right, hey, don't be throwing any Bibles. Your temptation may be nachos, okay? I'm just telling you. But what Bible says, it's not that an emotion doesn't come up or a thought don't come. But it's when it's conceived. When you take that thought and you apply it, or you take that desire and you put it into action, that's where sin takes place. Now, Jesus warns us to head that off with our thoughts. Because according to what Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, then I want to tell you, you're in trouble. And if you think on something, listen to me, if you think on something enough, you will do it. Your life goes in the direction of your dominant thoughts. So you have to arrest those. And New Testament tells us to bring those. But anyway, long story short, is that freedom doesn't mean that you're not ever tempted by a nacho. Freedom does not mean that you don't ever have a desire for one. Freedom means that if the Lord says for you not to eat a nacho or whatever it is, you know I could name a lot of things. I'm not naming any because I don't. You say, well, he didn't name mine. No, no. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You can be free. And Jesus paid the price for us to be free, okay? All right. So, let me read Acts 6:8, because we covered this last week. Here's Stephen, full of grace. Somebody say full of Jesus. That's how we spell grace, J-E-S-U-S. Divine blessing and favor and power. So, remember, there's a connection between love and power. And he was full of the love of Jesus. He was full of grace, divine blessing and favor, and power. This was on the inside. And on the outside came power, strength, and ability to work great wonders. See, a lot of people want to say, well, I want to do miracles. And they want to try to do it in the opposite way. Well, I'm just going to go over here and push power out my arm. I'm going to get emotionally high enough where power is going to flow out of my arm. No, you don't push power out your arm. It's released, but before it's released, it's got to be received. And the way it's received is by great grace, great love, great grace. Jesus inside, power outside. Do you see the operation here? And he worked great wonders. And who worked the great wonders? It was Jesus. Thank you for saying that. It was Jesus, Stephen, full of Jesus. Jesus was free to do great wonders and signs, miracles among the people. And you say, well, that was just Stephen. No, no, no. That's for all of us. The Lord doesn't love Stephen more than us. Stephen got the same anointing that we get. It's the same measure. It's Jesus. Full Jesus, full Godhead, full Trinity, fullness of God. We get the same measure. Stephen connected in being full of grace and practiced releasing that. We've got to discover, number one, being full of grace. And we got to discover and realize and respond by releasing that love. And it comes out as power. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, let me show you an example, Acts 10:38. See if this doesn't look familiar to you. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth. You say, whoa, wait, that was Jesus. No, Jesus was showing us how to operate. Even though he was fully God, he was operating as fully man. And so, look what happens to Jesus, because Jesus, the same Holy Spirit's in us. And so, look what happens to Jesus. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. And so, even Jesus said, this is not my works. Jesus said, these are the Father's works. It was the Holy Spirit manifesting the Lord's power and love through him. Amen. And how he went about doing good. Now see, that's what you call ministry. Ministry is going about doing good. You're listening to the Lord. The Lord says, help this one. You go help. Ministry of helps. Ministry of kindness. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, is kindness. He went about doing good. And in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. And so I'm telling you, as a believer, you have the anointing, the full measure of God in you, and Jesus has defeated the enemy, and he's restricted the enemy where that the enemy does not have power over you. And whenever you see the power of the enemy manifesting in or on or around people, oppressing them or harassing him, you have the authority with Jesus in you to go and arrest that devil and tell him to go. Now, that's what you call freedom. Now, I want to tell you, people get touched by Jesus when you're ministering the love of Jesus, because the power of Jesus comes out and can set people free. Who sets people free? Jesus does. The same way it was with Jesus, the same way it was with Stephen, the same way it is with you. Amen. So, the anointing of God, in simple terms, is simply the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' own spirit that's in you and manifesting that supernatural power and ability of God. All right, I'm going to go one more time through this, 1 John 2:27, and hopefully you'll see it a little clearer. But as for you, that anointing, that unction which you received from Him, from Jesus, man doesn't give this to you, by the way. I know we lay hands on people and pray for you, but if God doesn't give it, you don't get it. But I'm giving you good news here. Jesus has already done it. We just need to recognize it and receive it. Man, that makes a difference. It abides in you. So then you have no need that anyone instruct you, but just as His anointing teaches you concerning everything, is it true or false? So you must abide. But the way to continue to receive from God is to keep your heart sensitive toward the Lord by abiding in Him, being rooted in Him and knit to Him, just as His anointing will teach you to do. Are you listening? Are you following? You are anointed. Holy Spirit anointing abides in you. And because of New Testament covenant, see, you can't look at the Old Testament and say, well, that's the way we are. No, it's a picture of what was to come. But now in the New Testament covenant, you don't really need more anointing. They had to have more anointing in the Old Testament for everything that God wanted to do or needed to do. They had to have more anointing. You already got it. That was before the cross. Now after the cross, you've already got it. I'm telling you, that's beautiful. You have it. We need to learn how to use it. Use what we have. Learn how to release the anointing. Appropriate it. Apply it. And be advised, this is not self-confidence. I've been personally confronted in some places when I've preached because I may say a word against self-confidence. And, you know, the world preaches self-confidence and self-esteem real big. But I want to tell you, for the believer, we don't operate on the world system. With the believer, it's not self-confidence, it's Savior confidence. With the believer, it's not self-esteem, it's Christ esteem. All right? And I want to tell you, that's how the Lord shows Himself mighty in our life. And so we got to be content in Him, but not complacent. You've heard us talk about that before. Hungry for more, but being fulfilled in Him. There's two sides of that coin. There's a balance in it. And we already have more than enough portion. That's what you got to know. Your anointing abides. So you must abide in Him. Now, Jesus talked about this in John 15. There it is. John 15, 4 and 5. He said, dwell in me. Now, dwell, I want to tell you, we've done so much on Psalm 91:1, you ought to know what this means. It means to camp out. Hey, pitch a tent over. Okay, so you think about this, about Jesus pitching a tent of His presence over you. Dwell in there. Don't run from it. Stay there. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I'll live in you. Do you see a flow? We're talking about vine life. You got to be super connected to the vine, or no fruit going to show. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself, get it? Without abiding in, being vitally united to. See, that's more than just reading a verse a day. Are you Devo a day? Or going to church every now and then? No, no. We're talking about a personal relationship where you're vitally united to the vine. Somebody tell me who the vine is. Jesus is the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now, there can be a lot of work activity outside of Him that will even make people applaud. But it's not kingdom work. And it's not bringing God honoring glory like it could, because it's got to be vine life. Vine life causes the anointing to flow because you're connected. It's Holy Spirit presence that brings with it the supernatural presence and ability of God. In the Old Testament, you know, I love to see the pictures. We talk about the pictures, but every time an anointing would come upon a person in the Old Testament, they would move beyond their limits of natural abilities. And even their personalities. And they would carry out great and mighty exploits for the Lord. For example, we talked about Gideon this spring. And Gideon was transformed from a timid young man who was fearful and resentful at the circumstance he was in, believing that God had just done away and gone away and put them in a mess. But God took this little timid, fearful, reluctant man and turned him into a mighty warrior who boldly rallied the people of Israel against an innumerable Midianites and to a great victory. Samson became strong, not just by his muscles. I'm going to talk about this in a future series. Not just by his muscles. Samson became strong because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he would do mighty acts. Okay? He would snap the bands of ropes. They were holding him down like they were strings. And he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and he single-handedly slew 1,000 Philistines. That was not by his muscles or his karate. It was by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. David killed Goliath and became someone known to prosper in everything he set his hands to. Now you get this now. The best warriors of Israel were there and they were all scared. The great warrior of the Philistine camp, Goliath, was there. And did God choose a warrior to fight a warrior? No, he chose a boy with a stick, with a sling and a stone, a little shepherd boy. He didn't look like a mighty warrior. Matter of fact, he couldn't even wear armor. He didn't look like a warrior. He looked like a little cute teenage boy, because the Bible says he's kind of purdy. And he looked like a cute teenage boy that should have been modeling jeans at the mall instead of out there on the battlefield. God's not limited. God chooses, and he shows over and over through Scripture that he'll take the weak things to beat up the mighty of the world, because he's the strength. And he loves to show himself strong. As a matter of fact, David just described this. Let's look at 1 Samuel 18:5. And 1 Samuel 18:5 says this, "And David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he prospered and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war." Now I want to tell you, it's a big difference when God raises you up. You say, "Well, now, come on, Pastor Tim. He was anointed king when he was..." No, no, this was a private matter. This wasn't a public matter. The army of Israel, Saul didn't know that he was anointed king before that time. And I want to tell you, it wasn't public news. It was private among the family. But I want to tell you something. When God raises you up, he shows himself mighty in and through your life, and even in and through your weaknesses. And it was satisfactory both to the people and to Saul's servants. Let's see one more. 1 Samuel 18:14. David acted wisely in all his ways. Now I want to tell you, wisdom comes from the Lord. He was humble before the Lord. Humility brings wisdom. Pride brings a fall. Humility brings wisdom. Pride brings foolishness. Okay. So he acted wisely in all his ways and succeeded. Who was his success? The Lord. Look how the success came. It was the Lord with him. You know how he won the battle? The Lord was with him. You know how he became a man of war and a general over the army? It wasn't because of his mighty physique or his mighty strength. It was because the Lord was with him. It's a great testimony when you say, "The Lord was with me and the Lord did it." Does that create a little hunger spark for you? For desiring and seeking out the abundant more, the Holy Spirit-filled and anointed living that he has for us? You see, there's more to do with your life than sitting around being entertained. Oh, I don't have time for that, but I'd like to go there. If we spend as much time in the Word as we do other people's lives, if we spent more time in the glory of his face instead of the... Okay, you know where I'm going with that. Here's what the Lord wants you to know about anointing. Number one, to know it's his will for you. Don't you dare say it's for others, not for me, because Jesus paid the same price for you to be anointed. And he has anointed you. And it's already paid for. And hey, it's for you. Let me just say it quickly. You already got it. It's in you. Number two is to believe for it. Recognize it and believe it. Receive it. Ask for it. Apply it. Appropriate him. You say, "Well, I don't know how." Well, just ask him, because it's already his will. And when you ask his will, you get it. Okay, I'm just telling you, there's more. I've got to preach. It's been a joy to preach in all kind of tags and titles of churches, all kind of denominations. and some of them that's not connected to a denomination, that's okay too. But I want to tell you, what I found out is that a lot of times, there's a lot of denominations that are believing the same thing, but they use different terminology. Let me make it clear. I don't care what you call it, long as you receive of Him. Receive of Him and release from Him. I don't care what you call it. You can call it a baptism. You can call it an overwhelming. That's a beautiful scriptural word, by the way, when you look it up. An overwhelming, it's the picture of Psalm 23 where the cup's running over. That's a good picture. I don't care if you call it Spirit-filled. I don't care what you call it. I don't think heaven does either. Just receive and release. That's what makes a difference in the kingdom. Years ago, our house was flooded with water. Well, between the knee and ankle, it was pretty high throughout the whole house. It wasn't pretty water. That's all I can say. But in the process of all this happening, because, you know, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And through all this happening, I'm saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. And He shows me a picture later that, you know what, in response to that flooded house, thank God that insurance paid. But it was about a six-week project, you know, that we stayed in a hotel for 6 weeks. It was all right with me. It was easier for me to find her. I had a good time. But anyway, what I'm telling you is this, is that, you know what? We got a new house from the knee down. We got a brand new house from the knee down. And I'll tell you what hit me. You know what? No matter what you call it, on a regular basis, we need to receive a flooding of the springs of life in our house. And a regular flooding of the springs of life, not dirty water, springs of life in our house, will create new territory. New house. Fresh house. Restored, better than new house. Is anybody listening to this? But see, that's exactly what Elisha did. He was so hungry for the anointing of God that he asked for a double portion of it. He asked and pursued it. All right, have you asked? I want to tell you, Scripture's pretty clear. We have not because we ask not. Have you asked? Because it's His will and He paid for it. Let's pray for the anointing. Let's pray to receive, because we've already been given it to it, how we can receive the full measure of His anointing. Elisha did. Most folks will say, well, you know, if I could just have half of what Elisha had, I would be real happy. Well, the Lord wants more for that, more than that for you. Why do you want to settle for a half of what Elijah had when the Lord wants you to have triple anointing? Not double. You see, we're in a better covenant. We got better promises. We got a better relationship with God because of Jesus. We have triple anointing. Full measure of God. Not just for specific events, but 24/7, 365, we have the anointing of the Lord. And Elisha desired more than what Elijah had. That's not bad. That's good. I want to just make this a little announcement that, you know, we are just as full of God as we're willing to be. Man, that's pretty. I got to say it again. We are just as full of God as we're willing to be. Elisha knew anointing. See, he had a little insight. Let's at least capture what he had and go from there. Elisha had some insight. He knew the anointing was the Lord Himself, that it was the Lord that anointed Elijah. It wasn't Elijah. It was the Lord that anointed Elijah. He knew the Lord's heart is to always give more. Man, if we can catch that. Jesus came to reveal the heart of a father that has more for us than we can even dream. 2 Kings 2:9, and when they had gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, I pray you let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Have you asked? Now, I know, let me just back up, because there are people, and I've heard this taught in churches, don't do that. No, don't get out there and, you know, go, you know, away from the crowd and, you know, believe what more than what. No, don't do that. You're presuming on God. Well, let me tell you something. It's wrong to presume on God. But here's how you do that, by not being thankful. If you're not thankful, you're presuming on God. You can't be self-focused. If you're self-focused, according to the New Testament, if you're self-focused, you'll miss because your desires are for your own measure. And so that's presuming on God. No, but I'll tell you, there's a better way. I'll tell you what's wrong. It's not knowing Father's will. That He wants to triple anoint you. He wants you to receive the full measure of the Godhead in you. To not know that it's Father's heart to bless you with the much more of the manifestation of the Spirit and for you not to receive it. That's what's wrong. It was a bold request. I want to tell you something about bold requests. Heaven's listening, and heaven shouts when you make a bold request. Let's believe God for the impossible. Now, when Elisha said this, even Elijah was taken aback. Look at this in 2 Kings 2:10. And he said, well, you've asked a hard thing. Now, let me just interpret that for you. Elijah's saying, I can't do that. Elijah's saying, with man, that's impossible. But we know the answer to this, don't we? With God, all things are possible. All right. Because this is the way it comes out. Well, I can't do that. That's something I can't do. But God can do it. Okay. If you see me when I'm taken from you, this is what God will do. If you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. You're going to get it if you see me when I go. But if not, you're not going to get it. And so I want to tell you, it's possible for you to miss. Let me tell you a key in receiving the fullness of God is to keep your eyes on Jesus. You see, this is picture book. Are you listening with me? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on me. This is the New Testament interpretation. Keep your eyes on me. When you see me go, full anointing will come. Hey. We see this in the New Testament. I'm just going to point this out. I can't preach on this morning. I'm just going to point it out. You know, those that watched Him ascend into heaven received the anointing. Okay. I want to tell you it was good for me because I see a picture there. Let me just say it to you where you'll catch it. KLTJ, keep looking to Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Not on any manifestation or not on any gain or what. No, just keep your eyes on Jesus and let Jesus do it. Let this spark your heart. God loves big and bold requests. If what you're believing in is not impossible, your view of God is too small. Now, I want to just tell you this. How am I doing? I got a lot more time? Oh. Man. Oh, I'm having so much fun. Oh, my. Okay, praise you, Lord Jesus. All right, let me kick it out like this. I know. Oh, man, I can't go there, and I want to. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17. You got that? 1 Samuel 17, 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So, listen, David had already learned how to humble himself before the Lord and receive the anointing for battle. But if he had not practiced receiving the Lord's victory for battle against the lion and the bear, he wouldn't have been ready, are you listening to me, to receive the anointing, the victory against the Goliath. Okay, I want to tell you, it's a lifestyle. You can't wait till a crisis and say, rut-row. No, I want to tell you, it needs to be a lifestyle. See, you need to be connected to the vine. Crisis comes. Where's the vine? Where's the vine? Let me borrow your vine. No, come on now. I'm telling you, it happens. Okay. You know, I'm going to have to stop because I don't have time for the other. But I'm going to pick up on that next week. But let me just tell you, let's go back to 2 Kings 2:11. And let me get this in. Because almost immediately after Elisha's request, or at least that's the way it looks, the student and teacher were walking along, And verse 11 takes place. And still they went on and talked. And behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind unto heaven. And it's like the Lord is saying, let's do this. I mean, when Elisha made that request, heaven didn't groan. Heaven shouted. It's like the Lord says, come on. Heaven is saying to you, the Lord is more excited about the supernatural impossible blowing in your life and through your life for others than you are. I know there's a common saying, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, you know, if you're waiting on the Lord to do something, He already has. You know what? I want to put it to you like this. Heaven's waiting on you to believe and receive. And respond. That's the Lord's heartbeat for you. When you pray His will, you get it. The Trinity is in unity. And they're praying and waiting for you to believe and receive. For you to agree with their will for you. I want to tell you, if you get to heaven and try to ask a question, they're going to say, it's in my word. It's in my word. It's in my word. It's for us. By the anointing of God, and I'm wrapped up with this, okay? By the anointing of God, Elisha received a double portion. He was in on 16 miracles compared to Elisha's 8. Does that look like double to you? 2 times the number. Resurrecting a boy from the dead, healing a man of leprosy, purifying poisonous water, multiplying barley loaves to feed hungry people. Why? Because of the Lord pouring out a double portion. Why? Because the Lord's desired to do it. You got to see that the Lord desires to pour out His anointing on you in fullness. Elisha desired it. He agreed with God's desire. He asked and He received. That's the Lord's heart for you. He's a loving Father that wants to lavish His love and His touch on you. It's not going to happen without you being overwhelmed by His love. But the overwhelming of His love is connected to the overwhelming of His power. Let me pray for you right now. Father, thank You so much. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that heaven's desire is yes. That through Jesus, You've already said in Your word that the promises of God are yes and amen. You're waiting on us to say yes and amen. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for great revelation, our eyes and ears be open, not to settle for the common denominations of what man puts out, but that, Lord, we'll look to You, our ever-completing supply, that You are more than enough, and that Your word says that You've already anointed us with the fullness, the full measure of God Himself. And so, Lord, open our eyes and ears to see how big You are and how big Your kingdom is. To flow in us and through us. And Lord, we just declare in Jesus' name that our hope rises up to see this in our hearts and our faith sparks to say yes and to respond to it in a way that causes the world to be shaken again by the kingdom of God. Lord, we give You praise and we celebrate Your love for us. And all the people said, amen, amen, and amen. I bless you. I say, God bless you. I love you. I love being with you. Thank you.